The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Ron Wolfley in studio. Yeah, it's draft week. We're finally here. So Ron, color analyst for the Arizona Cardinal Radio Network, also host co-host mornings over on 98.7 FM with Doug and Wolf. We'll have Ron Wolfley in studio on things around the Cardinals and what he believes they should do. And we'll go deep with Ron, as we like to do. That will be with Ron Wolfley. 15 years ago today, at about 4:30 in the morning, I get a phone call from Channel 3. I'm at the time working in their sports department, sports reporter. I get a phone call, and they said, we understand that something has happened to Pat Tillman. There's reports that he's been murdered or that he's been killed in action, or we're just not quite sure. It was very confusing. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm half asleep. And I get down to my office, and I make a couple phone calls, and it's, yeah, he's gone. And so I called the station and said, I'm getting in my car. I'm going to go to the Cardinals facility. I get to the Cardinals facility, and it's probably about 6:15, 6:30. I met a crew out there from the TV station, and Dave McGinnis was there, and there were already people in the parking lot starting to assemble and building a tribute towards Pat Tillman. And that day is one that I will remember for many, many reasons. I'm not going to sit here and say I was the closest guy in the world to Pat Tillman, but I'll also tell you that Pat and I did things together on the air. And I liked Pat a lot. I liked him a lot, because there was something about him that was just different from many athletes. I remember one time when Eric, I don't know, were you and I together when he called in on the, and I ask you this every year probably, and I don't remember your answer. When he called in, he was doing the bike ride fundraiser through Massachusetts, and he needed financial help, and he didn't want to ask for help.
No.
You weren't with me on that?
I was not.
Yeah, that was, it was like, what are you talking about? Of course you can come on. He's just riding his bike for a cause. And so this day, when I see people put up tributes, it's also, that means Pat's run is right around the corner. Pat's run is, I believe, of all the stuff that is out there, the Tillman Foundation is terrific. Pat's run is amazing. I think everything else outside of that, like Pat Tillman would have hated to have a statue of him put up somewhere, but there is one. Pat Tillman would have hated the whole salute to service stuff, but it's everywhere. Because they've made money off Pat Tillman. Lots of people have. And it's just, it's unfortunate, but that's just a fact. And it bothers me when I see things like, I'll talk to some of his closest friends privately, and they'll say, you know, Pat would have hated this. You know, Pat would have hated that. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I hate it. They hate it. They see what's going on. Everybody's making a buck off of somebody who's no longer here. But that said, the Tillman run is one of the great events ever. And I'm never going to not show up on an April 22nd and not address Pat Tillman as long as I have a microphone. I've had people that said, you need to move on. You know, like last week when, and it's not even close to Pat Tillman, but when Tyler Shuck, we talked about him up at Oregon, the quarterback they missed on, ASU. And I had people say, you ever going to let go of it over at ASU? No. When Chubba Purdy was offered last week by ASU, and I bring up there's work that needs to be done from the football staff, because there is. Because they screwed up the Brock Purdy recruiting so much. But very few people are left in the building that screwed up the Brock Purdy recruitment. However, they're going to have to build a bridge, and the parents are going to have to take a bridge too on that one. They're going to have to let go of what happened if they want to make this thing work for ASU. There's just certain causes or certain stories that you don't let go. You just don't. Like the draft stuff, I'll get to it in a minute. First, let me tell you about Sagicor now. Protect what matters most, and you do it through life insurance or maybe other needs. Friday afternoon, it's Good Friday. I'm sitting at a little restaurant, sitting with a husband and a wife. I'm sitting with my buddy Courtney from Sagicor. Courtney is terrific. Courtney is amazing. Courtney and I sat there and talked to this couple. They've been together a long time. They're starting to see the finish line. They want to know if they can see the finish line. They want to know what gaps they have in their life. Saturday morning, I get a text at 7 a.m. Businessman had some stuff that's happened to him. Wants to know the gaps that are out there now that the things have happened to him. And why do they do that? Why do they reach out? because Sagittarius is a great group of people that do really care, protecting what matters most. Yes, it's life insurance. Yes, it's annuities. But stuff happens during life. And rather than say, oh my gosh, I can't handle it, protect what matters most. Log on, get your free quote right now. It's Sagittarius Now. We appreciate Sagittarius and their support. Ron Wolfley comes up at 10:35. All right, Eric, we got to play a game here. We're not going to do the schedule game.
Yay!
This is the Who Do You Trust More game. So who do you trust more? Peter King, Kent Summers, Chris Mortensen, Pete Prisco.
Topic?
Who the number one pick in the NFL draft is going to be.
The Cardinals have the number one pick? They do?
It's a shocker that this has come out so recently that they have the number one overall pick. We're both stunned. We're both floored.
Man, that's tough. Those are all very creditable.
I'll throw Ian Rappaport in there, too.
Another good one.
So
they're called insiders for a reason.
Who do you trust more? Is it Peter King? Is it Kent Summers? Is it Chris Mortensen? Is it Pete Prisco? Or is it Ian Rappaport? Who is the most trustworthy of all of them?
Oh, wow. Okay. Do I have to number them or do I just pick one?
You wake up in the morning, you go on your Twitter feed, and they're all sitting there saying the same or whatever it is on this topic.
I would say I would go Kent 1 and Ian Rappaport 1A.
Okay.
And that's no disrespect to those others because they clearly know what they're talking
about. Peter's never coming on again. We got it.
Yeah.
So Kent wrote that Quinnen Williams is going to be the pick. Wrote it yesterday. Peter wrote that Kent wrote.
Right.
But Peter is sticking to Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Chris Mortensen is emphatically sticking with Kyler Murray. Pete Prisco wrote, there's no way that they're going to draft Kyler Murray.
No, this is fun.
That was on Saturday. And Ian Rappaport wrote, no decision has been reached yet. Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim are going to have a meeting, one final meeting, later this week. So, guys, as Eric and I are sitting here making our plans for the Football AZ show this week, because we're going to do two of them this week, and this show, too, we don't know. They've done a really good job of subterfuge, I do believe, of having us go all sorts of different directions. But I think I'm with you because Kent is here. And Kent has been going over there for years and years and years and years.
Correct.
However, is there someone within the Cardinals organization that would say, Kent, this is what we're going to do, that would know, Eric, that intentionally he would put it out, even though, again, that's just part of the subterfuge?
It's possible.
Could he be getting used, I guess, is the way to put it.
Maybe.
You know, whenever these folks, these five names, six names I throw out at there, put things out, usually they're not wrong. Usually they're not.
Like Ian Rappaport broke the Steve Wilks hiring last year or 2 years ago now.
Right.
So that came from a well-placed source. Like that was, and he has plenty within the Cardinals organization. And Peter, it's not that Peter doesn't have well-placed sources because he does, but the draft really isn't his thing.
Draft's not his thing, but even Peter wrote he's upset some people over at the Cardinals because he's pointed out their inadequacies, which. I'm sorry, but that's what we do.
That's it.
We're not. It's great they missed the playoffs. It's the referee's fault, you know. That's not us.
No. We're not cheerleaders.
No.
We're reporters.
I mean, come on. So and anybody that would hold that against Peter after all the things that he's done for the organization, I mean, come on. That's. So there's also this point of this week is the biggest week in our sports landscape since last year with the number one pick by the Suns. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit in the next segment, along with where the Cardinals are and the whole idea of what is leverage and what is not leverage with Josh Rosen. Then Ron Wolfley, I'm going to get to the Diamondbacks too, because it's kind of interesting where they are right now in the NBA playoffs. It's a busy Monday, sports360az.com. Make sure you log on, check it out. All of our content put together by this great staff. We are self-funded. What you are about to see are those people that believe in us and say we're going to support you. So please support them. Back after this. So as we drill down towards Thursday, and you've heard all these analysts on, and we'll have more, it's that time where you look at what's gone on in Valley Sports through the years and how big a week this is. If the Cardinals screw this up, and you're thinking, well, how can they screw up the number one overall pick? So because they already have a quarterback in place that they spent a number one overall pick, or not a number one, a first round pick on last year, okay? And they're making the decision that this quarterback is not as good as this other quarterback, even though they have lots of needs across this team. And if they go the route of Kyler Murray and they trade Josh Rosen, first they have to determine what are they going to get back for Josh Rosen? Is it of equal value? You can't say, well, we drafted Kyler Murray and we settled for a third round pick and a second round pick next year. Like, to me, there's got to be a point of leverage. You're going to hear a lot about leverage this week. The leverage for the Cardinals right now, it's not that, well, everybody knows they're going to take a quarterback. No, nobody knows for sure, as we just pointed out by all these insiders going different directions. Okay. So if the Cardinals are sitting there and they decide to take Quinnen Williams, are they going to tip their hand right before they do it? And are there going to be teams that will be contacting them saying, we want the number one pick. Yeah, we'll trade back to two, or we will take Kyler Murray and send him. There's all sorts of scenarios. You can't do what the Suns did last year, or can you? So the Suns last year take DeAndre Ayton. Luka Doncic was a better player. Luka Doncic did more. People will say, I know the Suns on their Twitter feed, it's obnoxious how they'll look at all these great numbers DeAndre Ayton had. They won less games than even a year earlier. It's when you're on a bad team, somebody's got to score points. Like, people just don't seem to get that. They want to do the whole PR thing about how great it is. And no, you're 7 feet tall. You should get double digits in rebounds. Doesn't mean they're important. You could get four boards on three missed putbacks. I mean, come on. It's just, and you can make a correlation between the two sports. You really can. I think if the Suns had Doncic, they probably would have had 5-10 more wins this past season. The makeup of the team would have looked different. There probably would have been some guys that have been moved out of here. But I'm not bagging on DeAndre Ayton. It's just a fact that the Suns took him, and what happened? Nothing in terms of wins and losses. Nothing. Doncic, I think, would have put more people in seats than Ayton put in seats. Television ratings were negligible. The ratings for the Suns on TV weren't great to begin with. Don't give me that we had this many more impressions on our website. So what? Your record was the same. Well, our social following is terrific. Yeah, and so's your win-loss record for the last 10 years. Doesn't mean jack. Again, the only metric that fans care about, I care about, is how many W's and how many L's, not what all these metrics show. Doesn't mean anything. You can go to an advertiser, if they want to go pay money for a product that stinks, that's their problem. So where the Cardinals are is if they go with Quinnen Williams, if we just go with Kent Summers, who's here, boots on the ground, who's been around the organization, who's been everywhere. And I appreciate Kent taking the shot. I mean, that's a big shot for him to walk out there and say, no, this is the guy that they're going to take. It's not going to be Kyler Murray. If they go that route and they miss, to say that Steve Keim is on shaky ground, people don't like to say that. I think Steve made, meaning past tense, made some great decisions and some great choices and hit on a lot of players. But you can't have what's gone on the last couple of years. You just can't. You can't fire a coach after one season. You can't have the DUI. You can't have Sam Bradford being a total, total miss. You can't draft Robert Kimdiche. You can't draft Jonathan Cooper. Look, you were able to take Jonathan Cooper and it led to Chandler Jones. That would be their retort. And then the other side of it is, yeah, he did find John Brown. Yeah, he did find David Johnson. Yeah, he did find Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu signed a big extension, and is Tyrann Mathieu here anymore? No. Did Patrick Peterson want out of here last year and then backtrack? Yeah. It's not all happy times around here. I just feel like it's almost, hey, man, look at us. We got the number one overall pick. You don't ever want to be in this position ever, ever, ever again. And so there is a line there between how inept the Suns have been, how incompetent they've been, and the Cardinals' ineptness is now coming through to a third year, through another coach. Three coaches in 3 years is no way to do business. It's not. You're not going to win. So this week, this Thursday is a big day. It's a big day in our community. The Cardinals will step up and say all the things. It'd be funny if they said, we couldn't believe he was there when we picked him. Of course, you have the number one overall pick. We couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe that we were given the opportunity. Well, don't make yourself be this bad ever again so you don't have this opportunity ever again. Like, it'll be fun to parse through some of the stuff that will be said. Because all it's about is winning the room. It's all about trying to win you, the PR side of it. I was sitting with my my father-in-law yesterday, and he said, what do you think they're going to do? And I said, well, whenever somebody asks, what do you think they're going to do? Usually it means, well, let me tell you, Brad, what I think they're going to do. And he laughed. He's like, okay, so let me tell you what I think they're going to do. It's fine. But is what they do on Thursday going to equate to wins and losses this coming season? And the answer is probably no. Kyler Murray, by the way, just so we're clear, started exactly one full season of college football. One. So for those that think this shiny new object, if in fact it's him, is going to come in here and everything is smooth, everything is Baker Mayfield. Like, the Cleveland Browns suddenly have become the darlings of the NFL, being projected to win 10, 11 games, national television appearances. The Cardinals, they have their bye week on Thanksgiving, one of the biggest weekends of the year to watch football. It tells you all you need to know about the league and their view. So I want this to work. I don't like having lousy football teams. I don't like having lousy teams. And we've had lousy teams for a long time here on all levels. Like, I actually like watching the baseball team. I look forward to every day seeing how the baseball team is doing because they're fun. They have some young guys. I like that. We'll have Ron Wolfley on the other side on the Cardinals and where they are, the color analyst for the broadcast, and, of course, the co-host of Doug and Wolf over on 98.7 FM, Ron Wolfley. That is next. I'm Brad Susmad. All right, so the draft is now finally upon us. And because of this, I decided it is time to bring Ron Wolfley in. Because if there's ever somebody who can cut through the minutiae and the nonsense, it is Ron Wolfley. It is good to see you.
It's good to see you. I didn't mean to step on your little intro right there.
No, step away. I mean, we're going to step on each other.
It's so true, though, isn't it? Are you ready to talk Kyler Murray? Is that what you want to do?
Is there any more about Kyler? What is it about Kyler Murray that we don't know?
I have no idea, but the fact that he was 5'10 in an eighth and measured 207 pounds at the combine, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That to me changed everything, Brad. Listen, I had people that were standing next to Kyler Murray. They'd text me or call me and literally say, this guy isn't 5'9. He's not 5'9. He's 5'8 and a half. When he actually went to the combine and measured 5'10 in an eighth, you know what happened? Everyone went, aha! He's Russell Wilson. The comp was there. And that changed everything for Kyler Murray. It changed everything. Now, all of a sudden, general managers could actually look at their owner in the eye and go, he's Russell Wilson. What are you going to say about that? He's Russell Wilson. You're going to say that he can't play? Of course he can play.
Okay, did it change your mind? Did it change your mind?
Okay.
Forget about everybody else.
Okay.
Ron Wolfley, okay. Change your mind.
I absolutely dismissed Kyler Murray before Indianapolis.
Okay.
All right. Indianapolis, 5'10 and an eighth. The eighth inch, too, was huge to me. Just to add that on. He wasn't barely 5'10. He was over 5'10. That changed everything for me, and I knew that this guy was going to be somebody that was going to be considered by many, many teams. For the Arizona Cardinals, the question is this. Is he just the bright, shiny object, Brad? Is he just a, hey, everybody, look it. You want this, don't you? Is that what they're doing, or are they saying, that's our guy?
Okay.
That's the question.
Okay, I think you're right. The bigger question I have is, aren't there more needs than Kyler Murray? You got to keep him upright. He doesn't block. He doesn't tackle. This team has multiple positions of need. Yeah, they've gone out in free agency and done some very good things, I think. Free agency is a space where you go to make up for mistakes from the past, in my opinion. You cannot live off of free agency. If you take one and you trade down and you're able to get 3-4 multiple picks, if.
Boy, I want to talk about free agency. I want to talk about it because, right now, look at you try to fill your needs with free agency. It's the exact opposite of what the draft should be. The draft should be, we're going to take the best player available. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take the best player available, Brad. But free agency, that should be, you know what, we're going to fill needs right now. Boy, do I think the Arizona Cardinals. Listen, it doesn't guarantee they're going to be a good team. It doesn't, by any stretch of the imagination. But, man, do I think they've done a great job filling a lot of those needs right there. When you think about this, T. Suggs, first of all, I love the T. Suggs signing. Do you love the T. Suggs signing?
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. This is Chandler Jones is literally going to be trying to show off for Terrell Suggs, who is a walking, talking, living legend.
But if you put Bosa alongside those two.
Okay, Bosa. Okay, we'll talk about Bosa here momentarily. Yeah, all right. Jordan Hicks as a Mike linebacker. Robert Alford. This is the most talented corner the Arizona Cardinals have ever had opposite of Patrick Peterson. Now, look, you can say, oh, Pro Football Focus had him rated so badly last year. Don't get me started on the Pro Football Focus. Don't get me started. It's a tool. That's all it is. It's tool. It's cool. There's nothing wrong with it. But don't act like it's the Bible, the end-all, be-all. Don't do that. Robert Alford had a high ankle sprain last year. He was fighting that all last year. Look at the 5 years previous to that, how well this guy played. Robert Alford is going to be, the day he shows up and actually works opposite of Patrick Peterson, is going to be the most talented, skilled cornerback opposite of Patrick Peterson the Cardinals have ever had. Now, having said that, he's still got to go play, Brad. He's got to go play. There's no doubt about that. But, man, D.J. Swearinger, a guy nobody's talking about, all dog.
Great pick.
All dog. Just a great pickup. Last year, right, they have addressed this. Darius Phylon is Rodney Gunter. The fact they brought him back, Rodney Gunter had a great year last year. The defense with Vance Joseph, I believe, is going to be improved dramatically. Doesn't mean they're going to win games. Doesn't mean they're going to win games. J.R. Sweezy on the offensive line. Marcus Gilbert, somebody that my brother Craig knows very, very well from the Pittsburgh Steelers, picking him up for a 6th-round pick right here. These are starters. These are guys that are going to show up and start. And I think they've done a great job addressing all the needs except for one, wide receiver, at the wide receiver position, and maybe tight end as well. Those two positions right there, Brad. But now you're going into the draft, and if you have a transcendent player like Kyler Murray, not going to pull the trigger on that because you've got a quarter?
Okay, so but you have Josh Rosen. Do you take Josh Rosen and you get him out of here for a third or a second? So you went from 15 to 10. You get a second or a third. You hope that with that second or third you hit on it, which Steve has hit on some. He's missed on some, as they all do.
Yes, he has.
As they all do,
yep.
Right? So I'm looking at it and saying, if you keep Josh, is there really that big of a difference between Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray? And, yeah, that what I hear is, oh, yeah, there's no question there is.
I know, and I'm not really comfortable with that. And the reason why I'm not comfortable with that is because I'm not in that room, Bradley. I'm not in that room. I'm not listening to the questions that are asked and the answers that are given. I'm not watching Kyler Murray grease it up on the board. What does he really know? What does he not know? Is he a bright guy? I don't know any of that. I don't know what his leadership capabilities are going to be at this level. I really don't. Now, listen, I know that he had a one-year sample size, and he was good. Yeah. He was as good as it gets. But look at the fact that he still has baseball as an option is also a scary thing. I don't think it's a slam dunk. What I would like to see the Arizona Cardinals do, I'd like to see him trade down out of that number one spot.
This, my man, speaks my language.
I would like to see them trade down. out of that number with the Oakland Raiders by preference, okay, and maybe pick up a first-round pick and another juicy second-round pick or even number 24 and 27, whatever it may be, because if John Gruden really does love Kyler Murray and thinks he's a transcendent, generational player, he's going to move up to number one. I'll take that. And then I'd like to see him go with Josh Rosen. Now, having said that, here's the part that kills me. With all that, with that belief, there's still some remorse in me that says, no, that is Russell Wilson you just passed on.
Right.
It's not worth it. He's a more explosive version of Russell Wilson. That part of me is, I must admit, I'm afraid that I would pass on Russell Wilson.
Well, and here's the thing, Rod. I think draft night, I can't sit here and say, boy, what a horrible pick in Kyler Murray. I also can't sit here and say, why did they pass on Kyler Murray and trade down?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is one of those very rare situations of, yeah, you make a compelling argument on the free agent side, but again, a lot of those guys are north of 30 or approaching 30, and I want to see this thing reload to be competitive every year in a very difficult division, not just make a short run. And if your quarterback's already in place with Josh and you get three or four guys to what you and I are talking about,
mm-hmm.
it's great. I don't think that Thursday night I'm going to be sitting here saying, what are they doing?
Yeah, right, right.
Unless Steve gets back, Michael and Steve agree to get back, is like, really, they only got a one and a two for the number one overall pick? Mm-hmm. Outside of that, it's how can you argue them going that direction?
I know. No, you're right about that, Brad, and not only that, too, it's such a rare set of circumstances that we're looking at right now.
Yeah,
you tell me when we've ever seen
that.
Back to back.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a coach who's never been here before. You have a number one overall pick. The intrigue around the team, like, it was stunning to me they only got one primetime game. Because the amount of
intrigue. Don't be the storyline guy. You're not the storyline guy, are you? Please.
No, but I'm just.
What about just good games? Isn't that important to the NFL?
I think it's compelling to see what we have here in Arizona this year. This is not going to be a boring year. I think by middle of last October, this is what we got. This isn't going to be good.
Yeah, it just to me, it's the set of circumstances we have never seen in the National Football
Correct.
League. To me, you've got two back to back. First year head coaches, Steve Wilkes, of course, and now Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
To your point about Cliff Kingsbury, fired at the college level, suddenly hired as the head coach at the NFL level. Now you've got the possibility of the Arizona Cardinals drafting back-to-back franchise quarterbacks under those auspices, those conditions.
Right.
The NFL has never seen this happen before, but I think it speaks to the drastic desperate situation the Cardinals found themselves in after last season.
There's no way that Friday morning you show up and you do Doug and Wolf on 98.7 AM at FM at 6 AM and say, what a horrible move they made. There's no way.
No, I don't think so.
I don't see any, and you would say, I really have problems with what went down. You're not sitting there ringing the bell and blowing the horn for the team. You are, when things are bad, they're bad.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Which is
absolutely.
How it's got
to
be.
I am the first one to recognize that and to point it out. Now, listen, I do have a sensitivity for ripping on a player who might just be not good enough. I got a problem with that. I really do. These guys work their can off and go out there. Now, listen, if you're lazy and you're not trying hard, I'll rip you. I guarantee you right now, I'll rip you. And do it with malice, all right? But if you're out there and you're balling and you're trying, as most of these guys are, sometimes you're just not good enough. Why in the world are you going to pile on somebody that is good enough to actually get a tryout in the NFL, good enough to actually stick maybe in the NFL, but suddenly something happens in his career? I've got a sensitivity towards that, and you know it. I've talked to you about this before, but the Cardinals, I think overall, it's so important for them to get their ducks in a row. They know where they're going. Do you believe that? I think they know where they're going.
I think they know where they're going, too. I think they've played this whole number one overall pick pretty well.
I think perfectly.
Josh Rosen, he finally released a video of him talking about his view on everything that's gone on. And it's fine. I don't know if he's at the Grand Canyon or at Payson on top of a motorhome, but he released the video and talked about what's gone on here. It is a business, and that's fine. But I think they've played all of this to a point where, is there a team that's out there? Some people believe it's just a huge smokescreen that John Gruden has no interest at all in Kyler Murray. He's trying to light a fire underneath David Carr. That's fine. That's part of the intrigue. There's others that say there's the NFL's told the Cardinals, we are on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network. There's not a chance that you're going to leak anything that you're doing because we are reality TV in prime time on big ABC for the first time ever. I do buy into that. I totally buy into that from a business standpoint. So I think they've done fine. The intrigue around this, it's different than the Suns drafting DeAndre Ayton.
Or
if,
oh, yeah,
if they get a number one overall pick again this year, it's just different.
I love the fact, the obfuscation of it all, the draft subterfuge. This is what you do. How many times are you going to have the number one pick overall? Hopefully it's not going to be,
again.
Right? Hopefully it's not going to be often. Let's put it that way. You've got to make other GMs believe you are capable of doing anything. If you want the best deal, Bradley, you got to go ahead and make them believe that you're capable of doing any deal.
So with the draft, all the stuff around the draft, there are the things that are going on, believe it or not, in the sports world. The Diamondbacks play at Pittsburgh tonight. Pittsburgh is a very good team this year. Pittsburgh is not a layup. It's four games against the Pirates. And I'd have to say right now that if you look at the National League, it's the Dodgers and everybody else. The good news is it's the Dodgers and everybody else outside of probably, I've watched some baseball here recently, Miami, the Giants, and that's about it. I think everybody else, this is one of those years. Eric, have you seen enough of the baseball team, the Hometown Nine, to think if they're going to hang around here?
Too early to tell. But as the great Pedro Gomez says, you cannot win a division in the first month of the year, but you can lose it. And the Diamondbacks are only three games back of the Dodgers. So,
well,
so
they're not
going to
catch
good.
The Dodgers.
We don't know that.
You're very optimistic.
I'm just right now, 11-11, considering who they've played, I think they're doing just fine.
I had a long-time fan, a original season ticket holder text me yesterday. I actually called this person.
Flag Lady? Yeah, I know her.
Not Flag Lady. Oh. No. He may know Flag Lady. But he said, where are you at on Archie Bradley? Because they lost yesterday with Archie, and Archie was not around the plate yesterday.
He was not.
And Archie Bradley is, there's players on teams, okay? The fans are always going to find somebody to be mad at, and it's usually a closer. Usually, if you think back to the great Fernando Rodney, and even if he had a bunch of saves, which he did, fans just went apoplectic when he'd come out of the mound. Same thing happened to Greg Olson. Same thing happened to Matt Manti. Same thing happened to Jose Valverde. Doesn't matter who it is. And in this case, this is someone that's like, what's the big deal? Like, he didn't work out as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't claimed the closer's role. Every year he's the setup guy or by committee. Does a lot of marketing. Very, very, very popular with fans. Okay.
He's had one really good year, a couple really bad years, and a few just okay years.
He's still young. I mean,
he is.
So it's not like I'm sitting here giving up on him. It's just, it was an interesting Easter Sunday because I was listening to the end of the game. And it sounded like he was all over the roadmap again yesterday. And, you know, they're hanging around here at 11-11. I'll take that, a bottom of the ninth walk-off. That's one of those that's killers. And teams are going to go out and they're going to play about 60-60. What are they going to do in those other 40 games? I've heard this through the years. What do they do in the other 40 games? Like, everybody's going to be about 60-60. They're going to be about 500. But in those 40 games, are there going to be those 40 games where it's a nut cutter like yesterday and you lose 2-1 in a walk-off? Or a week ago Friday when I'm at the Diamondbacks-Padres game, and again, it was a 2-1, not a whole lot of offense. Just when you think, man, they really aren't figuring it out, they go on the road and they win, what was it, 5 of 6? But then they turn around and they lose 2 straight. The wind was howling. They're not 2 straight, 2 of 3 in Chicago. Greinke had a really good start on Saturday. Which team are they? They're hanging around, but 4 with Pittsburgh. And the great stuff about the Pittsburgh series, great part of it to me, they're 4 o'clock games. I love these 4 o'clock games. I get home, I'm in my office, I'm working, I'm watching baseball. I don't have to stay up till 9, 10, 11 o'clock.
And you got the Cubs and Yankees coming, which should be for an interesting homestand.
You know, they're here, what, the Cubs are here this weekend and then the Yankees are right after that.
Yep.
Man.
The 11-10 Yankees. So
they're all beat up.
They are all beat up.
But what do you think? 80% Yankee fans?
The Diamondbacks will have very well attended games over the next week. But I cannot tell you the percentage of Diamondback fans that will actually be sitting in those seats.
Do you see that they're rolling out Gonzo and Randy to
smart
talk about this on
Wednesday?
Well,
they should. I mean, let's relive 2001.
No, we can't.
We should.
We should. But that's why when people say to me, you know, Phoenix is a lousy sports town. Or I hear these guys whine and cry and complain and bitch and moan about, oh, we don't have any teams that are winning. Well, work at it a little bit. You can't tell me there's not stuff going on here. I mean, come on. We're going to have the lottery, what is it, in 2 weeks, NBA draft lottery once again.
Yeah.
We got the lottery again, you know?
Yeah. But not, I'm not as optimistic that the Suns are going to get the number one or number two pick this year as I was last year.
I guess I'm wondering, they're three back of the Dodgers, like you said. And the Dodgers are, like, I think the Phillies are hitting the ball all over the place because they have a great offensive lineup. But the Pirates are one of the best kept secrets in baseball, and it's like, they're not the greatest team.
No.
Statistically, you know, Goldschmidt had a couple more RBIs yesterday. People are going to talk about that as a point of, you know, oh, look at the Diamondbacks. Said Christian Walker's been just fine. He's not Paul Goldschmidt. By the end of the year, Paul will have his 50 home runs.
Baseball is a weird sport, though, Brad. I don't need to tell you this. I mean, last week I saw a stat. The Tigers were above 500, and at the time they had 7 home runs as a team. 7! And they were somehow above 500. Like 18 games into the season, they had 7 home runs as a team.
Are you racing home to TVs to watch them or listen to them when they're on the radio? Are you in that space?
No, but when they're on, I watch them.
So it's not like the Suns, where they're off your radar entirely, or where the Suns off your radar entirely.
Again, if I didn't make an appointment to see the Suns.
I knew when the Coyotes were playing more than I knew when the Suns were playing, because it's just so bad.
And I'm really kind of into these NHL playoffs this year, because it's just complete chaos. Well, you have 2-8s beating 2-1s. I mean, it's just cool. I mean,
what does that
it's
mean?
Unpredictable.
What does that mean for the Coyotes next year?
It means that they could make it if they get into the playoffs and it's kind of like March Madness. If you get a team that's playing hot, the NHL, it's the same way. You can make a run.
Because like the NBA playoffs are off 26%. Am I surprised by this? No. LeBron's not on the floor. Hate LeBron all you want. LeBron brings in people. That's it.
And the games have been okay outside of the Clippers' miraculous 88-point comeback against Golden State in Game 2. They've been fine.
Like Toronto, Orlando, who cares?
No, who cares? That series is almost over.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, Giannis is fine to watch, but it's still you got to sit through and watch Milwaukee.
And the Bucks are intriguing just because it's fresh blood. I mean, who would have
and
thought
they have
for
the best
a season?
Record.
Yeah, who would have thought for a season the Bucks would be the one seed?
But in the playoffs, like the Portland-Oklahoma City series to me has been compelling because Russell Westbrook, if he sits there and doesn't want to talk during press conferences, you know what? I can't force a guy to talk. That's him being unprofessional. That's his deal. That's him being really cool while he's going to get eliminated. But he's fun to watch.
No doubt.
You know, I'm not going to.
You have two of the best guards in the league with Lillard and Westbrook. So.
Yeah, but I'm not tuning in like consistently. Baseball, I am.
A little bit later in the playoffs, I'm definitely going to start to watch more. But
all right.
Again, who wants to watch Orlando? No offense to the Magic, but.
Let me see. I could throw in I have one more before we get out of here. Who do you trust? Do you trust Mel Kiper? Because now he is everybody's weighing in now that Monday morning they come off of work. And now Mel this morning, well, are the Cardinals talking to the Raiders about making this big trade? So there's another one. So is it the Peter? Is it the Kent? If you don't know what we're talking about, the show's going to repeat here in a second. Like in 10 seconds.
I kind of hope they do make a trade.
I do too.
I think it'd be fun.
Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. He's Eric. I'm Brad. Thanks for watching.